You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino the Mayor Show. Hour number three, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app, capable replacement, sitting in for the mayor who's on a cruise-type thing, Mike Pritzel. How great. What's some great young women? The Wisconsin United FC girls soccer team heading to the national championships. And we've got Tori Wittenbrock and John Kramer, headlines with the Press Times. We've got Jessica Dietrich, Habitat for Humanity. We're going to talk with them. But Tori, man, that was your wheelhouse, talk to those young ladies.
Oh, for sure. It's so cool. It's like a blast from the past to go and see all these young girls that are like at that level trying to go on to college or wherever they want to go. It's really cool.
And I told you, or I asked you, and you said you've been asked this many times, what advice do you give for those young athletes? And I thought you summed it up. Enjoy it.
Yep.
Enjoy the trip. Enjoy the travel.
Yep, for sure. And I mean, you can always tell the girls who enjoy it and the girls who are there because they feel like they have to or because their parents are paying for it. And you can always tell the girls who want to go to the next level.
John, when do you want to go to the next level?
That's how I feel on this show. I feel like I have to be here.
Right.
I
don't really want to be. Your parents make you come here.
Yeah.
A little long ago. Yeah.
Your level is going backwards, John.
You peaked in Afghanistan.
I don't think I ever peaked, really.
You're close. Jessica Dietrich, how you doing? Great longtime friend of mine.
Yeah, my old coworker, Mino.
Remember when I'd be doing my show in the worst studio? Todd?
Oh, it was horrible.
How many years have you been in radio?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a bad... 35 years for me. That was a bad studio.
Was the worst studio you've ever seen in radio?
It's about the size of the corner that Jessica's sitting in right now.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And people used to have to squeeze to get around the equipment to come in as guests. Remember that?
Yes. And if one person got a cold, everybody got a cold.
But here's what I used to... So it was the break room was right outside the coffee machine, everything like that. So when somebody like Jessica would be there to get herself a cup of coffee, what would I do, Jessica?
Well...
Drag you in?
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes, for conversations. Yes, they come settle this argument for us.
did he scream your name out? Because he always does the Todd, or Nikki. Or
we heard a lot of that in the hallways.
Imagine that.
Yeah, he used to actually come and sneak into my. I had a snack drawer in my office, and
what?
He somehow
Shocker.
Found
Who?
It.
What?
And huh. I would come into my office, and he had already been into it. He didn't ask permission.
You have no proof of
he
that.
He opened an Oreo bag. I will never forget this.
Like a raccoon.
You know how you can pull the top back, and then it. And then it sticks back. You can close it back up.
Resealed.
He opened the end of it. And no, he didn't. Oh. He opened the end of it and ruined the entire bag.
Jessica, how long ago would that have been?
20 years.
Okay,
so
the fact that Jessica, that is something that she remembers means you have to think about those types of things that you're doing.
Had an impact on her life.
Fair. Try.
I knew it was him, too. Right. I opened it up. I'm like, what in
there's
the world?
There's no way, Todd. There's no way that can be proved.
He's like a raccoon.
Try living with him for a week in Afghanistan.
Oh, God.
I would have to pass
on that.
I'm
sure that was lovely.
St. John over there. St. John.
Wow. But, Jessica, you know what? Once you left the radio biz, you've been involved in community service type things. That's your passion. Talk about your career outside of radio, what you've done and what you continue to do. Because I follow you on Facebook and everything, and it's cool.
Oh, thank you. So after I left radio, I started working for Habitat for Humanity here in Green Bay. And I worked there for 3 years and ran the volunteer program. And it was incredible. I absolutely loved it. And I loved the mission of Habitat. And then I relocated to the Twin Cities with my family. And when we came back, there wasn't anything open at Habitat. So I still volunteered for Habitat. And I started working for Discover Green Bay, the tourism office. So I worked there for 9 years, and we started Green Bay Restaurant Week, and there was a Tourism Insider program, which is the hospitality training that I trained over 500 people on, like things to do in the area when tourists ask. And I really enjoyed that, but I was doing a lot of volunteer work in the community, and I knew at one point I needed to get back into that. That needed to be my career. So I, when I left there after 9 years, I went to Freedom House, the homeless shelter for families with children. And
it's
I really
a phenomenal place.
Phenomenal place, great program. During my time there, COVID happened. So that was a really stressful time, trying to keep, 60, 70 people alive and healthy in one space was a lot. And it was a great learning opportunity for me. And then after a couple of years, Cora Halthofter-Hyde was running Habitat for Humanity, and she called me to lunch. And she just said, "Did you hear the announcement?" And I said, "What?" She said, "I'm retiring." And she said, "I believe in my heart and in my bones, you are the next leader."
That's awesome.
And a couple months later, I started as the CEO, and I've been there 3.5 years, and it has flown by. And I love what we do.
I used to volunteer as building the house. That was a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun because volunteers can come. You can have a lot of experience or no experience.
Right.
And we'll teach you. So we have staff, and then we have crew leaders that are volunteers that are really experienced that come out on a regular basis. And they'll take small groups with them and teach them how to do siding or drywall or how to use a saw. So you can, use power tools and all the fun things, and you can learn a lot. But you can help a family who's trying to purchase a house. So our program is based on those in the community who fall within the average median income for our area of 30% to 80%. So there's really outside of us no way that they can get a conventional mortgage.
Especially nowadays.
And they can't compete in the market. The market is...
Mike's a real estate guy. He'll be the first one to tell you.
Like, that's tough. And we know that there are people that are, you can afford higher and you outbid the others in the lower range. So those that we serve, they have no chance at becoming a homeowner. So they would rent for life without our program.
Say what you want, because when I was with the Veterans Village down in Appleton, it means such a difference in a person's life if they have a house
versus a yard.
They have a yard and a garage possibly. That is mentally, and for so many of those veterans, John, that made a big difference versus just going back to their apartment versus putting them in a house. I mean, that mentally is so important. You know what I mean?
Well, it's the whole home aspect of the house that creates, and that's what helps people.
And it really helps them, just self-esteem and everything.
I completely agree, and it's really good for kids. Yeah. So majority of those that we serve, like 99%, have children under the age of 18 in their household. And what we found is there are so many studies that show that home ownership and being out of a rental and out of a multifamily unit and into your own home, it helps with health, lowers the chance of having asthmatic attacks, and it keeps them healthier. So they're in school more, their attendance is higher, and then their grades are better. And there's a way higher percentage that actually move on to go to college after high school. So there are so many benefits that you just don't even realize when putting a child in a healthy, safe environment where they can do their homework without hearing racket on the other side of the wall. So it's pretty great.
And you know who else benefits? And Jessica's been living this life, is people who get to work on it. Because when you give, whether it's monetary or work that you do on something, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So when you lift a hammer or whatever that is, it makes you feel good too. And then it makes for a better community. It's not rocket science, right?
There's a lot of, we call them in the Army, second, third order of effects. It's just, it's a trickle down.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like throwing a rock in a pool of water and the ripples go out and affect so many things.
Yeah, and to your point, it is the type of thing where, so somebody donates money so that we can buy the materials for the home. And then we purchase the materials, and then we pull together volunteers and the home buyers. So they purchase this home. We offer them a 0% interest mortgage. So they pay for the house at what it appraises at. But we try to build a simple, decent, affordable home. So it's not extravagant. It's not luxurious, but it's high quality because we don't want that furnace breaking down. We use Herkman and high quality products throughout the entire house, 30-year shingles, all of that, because we want to set them up for success. What will happen then is we bring the volunteers and the home buyers together because there's sweat equity hours that the home buyers have to put in.
And they love that.
Yeah, we dedicated a home yesterday to a family on Reber Street, and they needed at a minimum, it was a mom and dad and their 4 kids. So imagine having to do sweat equity hours on top of working full-time and taking care of your kids, and this kid's in soccer, and this kid's in another sport, and then you have to put in 500 hours of helping build your home and other Habitat homes. So they do that, and this family family was over 673 hours. So they went above and beyond and just kept going until their house was finished. So they're really dedicated. There's so much pride that goes into it. And when you're a volunteer and you go out and you see them working their tails off, doing, you and I can just go get a mortgage.
Yeah.
And then you get the keys and you move in and then they just take the payment out of your account every month. They are working incredibly hard. They put those walls up. They painted those walls. They did all of that work with the volunteers. So we see that they stay in those homes. We have a very low default rate, and they stay in those homes for 30 years. And then it creates generational wealth, and they have something to leave their children, which is awesome. Great.
Phenomenal. All right. Well, Tori, we're going to talk about the, as we used to say in sports, the toy store of the real news. Let's talk about high school sports here.
Oh, yeah.
What an exciting time last week at the girls' basketball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what you took away from that.
It was really emotional to watch those girls. And, I mean, I'm always looking to see those high schoolers succeed. So, it was...
And let's be honest. That Resch Center for the girls' high school basketball tournament... What a phenomenal setting, wasn't it?
Yes. It creates a completely different atmosphere. You don't feel like you're at a high school game at all. So, I mean, I can't even imagine being on that stage in high school, having all those people watch you and everything. And they did really well for how the result was. I think that they played really well and they played their hearts out. And you could tell that they wanted it.
And it's fun because when you ask, when one of the announcers even talked about how one of the girls walked in and was like,
yeah.
Wow.
The music and the lights. Amazing. And they're like, whoa.
It's pretty neat, right? And it's something that some of them may never experience again. Who knows? They may all have something. But that one, you know, in the NCAA, it's the one shining moment song that's played at the end of the tournament. Mm-hmm. Well, for some of those kids, just running out on that field. And the layup line, John. I mean, because that's probably as far as you got, right? The layup line.
Okay, he was a mascot, and he's putting me down. Although I will say this, I think maybe, are you still on the one shining moment? The all-time one?
1994.
He's still like when they do the one shining moment at the end of the thing, he's on that. He's the mascot being carried around the floor.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah, it's the I don't
Phoenix
have
bird.
I don't have
do
a lot.
Do they still have the bird?
They do, but it's not as good.
No? Okay.
Sorry.
All right, no problem. But what a great era for high school sports right now.
Right.
And for the young women, like this bunch we had here, you know, those girls had nothing. They could cheer. They were like cheerleaders. And what sports have done for the young women in this country, that's a story that needs to constantly be told, isn't it, though?
For sure. And I will say young sports in America are definitely going in an interesting direction with it being more competitive. And, I mean, we've seen high schoolers from around the area. I know Carly Shock at Bayport Tennis is playing in pro tournaments and everything. And there was a swimmer at Ashwaubenon that... I talked to, and these girls are saying that they're looking at getting out of school early to focus on sports. So, I mean, it's definitely an interesting time.
The school looked at me at getting out early when I was in high school in time.
They pushed you out.
Yeah, to go into detention.
I don't want to talk about it. Back after this. No, that ain't working.
That's the way. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back, Mido and the Mayor Show. The very loquacious. How's that for a word, Mike? Mike Pritzel.
Hey, can you spell that?
Do you know what it means?
The password is.
I don't think you know what it means.
Hey, wow, I have beat up.
I have to say something before we continue.
Yes.
We just got word that this wonderful show, not with me on it, but with Mino and the Mayor on it, are up for the top morning radio show again this year. And
in the state of Wisconsin.
In the whole state of Wisconsin, which is a pretty big deal. And even, I mean, they should have won it last year. Let's all make sure we understand that was, there's some oversight and there were some issues with John. but for the most part, I think this year it's probably a lock.
Ah, yeah, it's a lock. But watch, Todd will win again. Todd got this. You should see the trophy he got for winning his. What was that, Todd?
It was for the best promo in the state.
Yeah, best promo in the state was him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do Tori and I get a piece of that since we're frequent flyers?
No, you get nothing.
Meinl will give you a gift card to some place where there's like $6.70 left on it. That's what happened.
I did that. I gave him a Quick Trip gift card. It had like $7 left from a $50 thing.
Or an open slab of Oreo cookies. One or the other is what he'll give you.
I'm going to tell a quick story. So when I walked in with my little LaCroix sparkling water, Tabby goes, what, drinking a beer this morning? And I just want to tell a story about when I stayed with him in his hooch in Afghanistan, and he had these, was it Snapple? Bottles of Snapple.
Bottles of something. I don't recall what it was. Yeah.
And I go, I'm going to grab one. Mind if I take one? He goes, no, don't. I'm like, what? I'm just going to grab one. He goes, no. I go, what? He goes, it's actually booze, which was completely illegal in the country of Afghanistan. Like, you'd get kicked out of the country.
Wow.
That one of our mutual friends, who ironically, get a kick out of this, Mike, he was the mascot. He was Henry the Hawk for the University of Iowa. He was their mascot.
Really?
Yes. And he did this, and he had them sealed up. What was it, like vodka?
I don't know.
Bottles of vodka?
No, it was whiskey. It was brown.
Whiskey?
Yeah,
you're right. It was brown. But you would have gotten, and he sealed those so well to send those two to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But you never tapped one, did you?
No. We were getting hit nearby all the time, and you can't, you know, get called to and strap on all your gear and grab the weapon when you're half buzzed. It just wasn't.
But why couldn't I have gotten half buzzed?
They did it on MASH.
They weren't going to let me have a weapon.
That's right. They did it on MASH.
On MASH, they would do surgery after being all liquored
up. Oh, my God.
So I'm not going to lie. In Iraq, we may or may not have had a little bit. But over in Afghanistan, where I was at in the middle of freaking Kandahar City, there was so much stuff going on. You just couldn't.
People
be
were
off
like,
your game.
I mean, not to talk the hardcore stuff about that. That's all in the past. But where you were and where I visited you, I've looked it up. There were two attacks. One time, 39 people were killed in the one attack right at the base at the camp, and then another time I think it was 21. And what they would do over there, this was how what they were going against, and you guys were just right in the middle of. Imagine like. The worst part of Detroit or Chicago or something like that, you guys are like smack dab in the middle of that city type of thing. So you had people from here to Schreiber right across from us could have been Taliban right there, like looking at these guys. And for what you guys dealt with over there, John, I mean, we've always joked around about it, but man, you were in the eye of the storm right there, weren't you, in Kandahar?
Well, it's the birthplace of the Taliban right there in Kandahar. And, you know, we lived on a little company outpost right there in the governor's compound on his palace to help him.
Well, it's not really a palace. When you said we're going to go visit the governor's palace.
Well, it's nice where you live. But
oh, wow.
They called it the palace, so we called it the palace. So. But yeah, we were right in the middle of it, small little place. And they actually got the bad guys got some weapons in shortly after I left and shot up my buddy Colonel Hicks. And
that was the guy right across the hall from us, right?
Nope, he lived in the.
Who's the guy that took the picture of that huge bug outside of our hooch?
I took that picture.
Oh, but I thought it was him that came over then.
No.
Okay. But anyway, didn't the two guys we have lunch with, didn't one unfortunately get killed in that attack?
Yep, in that attack, there was a number of Afghanis that were killed. None of us, just Colonel Hicks getting wounded.
And here's what they would do. So they attacked, and correct me if I'm wrong, where I got stranded outside the wire that morning, okay? That was attacked. And what they did...
Well, that was attacked all the time.
But what they did is they attacked, okay? And then they set back and waited for the medics, paramedics and everybody, the rescue people to come in to take care of the wounded, and then attacked them.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that that's been happening since war started. As soon as you take a break to try to help out your buddies, and there's some more. So
unbelievable. But that's where you spent a lot of time. So all the respect, as much as kidding around we've always done, all the respect in the world for what you did over there.
Well, it's about time you actually say that.
I know, right? Wow.
Let's get back to Rock the Block, please.
Well, go ahead.
Sorry, the mayor's usually here to keep you on track. Enough about me. Let's talk about something good happened.
It's more than enough about you. Jessica?
I'm enjoying the banter, actually.
I'm being nice today. I'm still a little off from when I had COVID. Remember when I had a cold when I was in here a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
That turned out to be COVID.
Are you serious? All you people got it, didn't you, Tori?
No.
Oh, Oh, but I thought you guys didn't come in then because everybody in your at the press times caught
no,
that.
No, it was just me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Todd told me not to say anything.
So you and I said this far away from each other, you had COVID.
You didn't get it,
Kramer.
Wow. Unreal. Jessica, tell us about this other great project you've got going. And we're here with the press times, of course, and which is a tremendous. I love seeing that thing in my mailbox because mm-hmm. it's always going to be every single time I found a story you guys have done in that where it's like, we got to get them on the air. I mean, you guys really have your finger in the pulse of great things happening locally. And that's no lie.
You got 2 minutes for her to tell your story about Rock the Block. So
let's do it, Jessica.
Jeez. Well, we appreciate the press times. We really do. They show up at any of our press conferences or any big announcements we have, and they help promote us, which is great because we don't have a big marketing budget. So we really appreciate the exposure. But so Rock the Block is a neighborhood revitalization program that we started last year in September. We revitalized a neighborhood in De Pere on the east side behind the Mulva Cultural Center. And we were able to do improvements to the exterior of 34 homes.
Wow.
So that could be painting, landscaping. We replaced windows, doors, decks, stairs. I mean, just so many different things. So it's all exterior, but we do it in 3 days. And we bring together, last year we had over 400 volunteers that came together to help us with that. So we wanted to do something more in the community. We're building homes and that's great. And we're doing well with that. This year we'll have 15. That's the highest number we've ever built. But we also wanted to have a bigger impact in the community. And so we explored it and it was Rock the Block. So we'll have it this September 25th through the 27th. And we are looking for volunteers to come out and help us out. The Fisk Addition neighborhood right behind Green Bay West High School. That's the neighborhood
that's
we'll be
cool
in this year.
Neighborhood.
Yep. So
love
we need
that.
Lots awesome. Of
can
volunteers.
We get a break? I want you guys to stick around. We got Thrasher coming up right after this.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, we got some great people here. Habitat for Humanity and Headlines for the Press Times with Tori Wittenbrock and John Kramer. But Todd, let's switch gears real quick here.
Well, a good old radio friend of mine who I've known for a long time, who now works with the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake, joins us this morning. Our good friend Jason Mansmith. Good morning. How are you?
Well, hello, everybody. What a team we've got today. It's awesome.
Look at that.
Todd, we got to say one quick thing here first. Jessica, tell Todd what you just told me during the break when you were listening to the weather.
Oh, Sean Cable is from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's where I grew up. He was my weatherman growing up.
Yeah, and he's working with us now.
That's amazing. Well, tell him I said hi.
We'll do that, yes.
That's crazy.
Jessica worked in radio too, Jason, so it's like a whole slew of radio people.
She worked with me. She said I was the greatest person.
Radio people.
She told me I was the greatest person she ever worked with in her entire life.
Did I?
When was that today?
Tori, when did she say that? Earlier today, right?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah,
okay.
John, I didn't
happening.
Hear it. I don't know.
John, you're old.
I must have been putting
anything.
Quarters in the meter.
So, Jason, fill us in. Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake. You guys got something going on called Eats for the Arts. What's going on with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in such a great location. Like we have all these fantastic restaurants in the Green Lake Ripon area that everybody loves to enjoy. And they all support us here at Thrasher Opera House and the work that we do in bringing live performance to rural areas, right? So all these restaurants say, hey, you know what? We'll collaborate together to work for you for a couple of days, and then we'll donate money to you. Because we support the mission that Thrasher Opera House is doing and realizing the importance of having a cultural space in a rural community. So we have 14 restaurants that all agreed to say, hey, some of our proceeds or a specific menu item proceeds are going to go towards supporting the Thrasher Opera House. And it starts April 3rd, runs through the 13th of April. It's so many great restaurants. It's everything from fine dining to hot dogs. I mean, we got everything in between there as well, too. So just really great places, and it's just a great testament of the support that we always get here in this area, and plus the opportunity to awesome food too.
What, for folks that haven't heard you on the show before and don't know about Thrasher, give us a little history about the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake.
Yeah, so absolutely. We're built in 1910 and served as a community gathering place that showed, you know, vaudeville theater and movies and silent movies and then later talking movies. And that went along for a few years and then it kind of disappeared. And then it became just like a factory space or a storage space. 27 years ago, the building was purchased, refurnished, and turned back into a gathering space that focuses on live performance, whether that's, you know, musicians or theater performances or a variety of different things, a place to gather. So now we pretty much put on a show every week here. We do, you know, 50 plus events a year. Music from across the world is our focus. And we got a lot of really great shows and we keep our ticket prices affordable. You don't have to worry about any of the, you know, strange fees that come with larger ticketing agencies and those kind of things. When you call here, you talk to us. There's a huge staff of four here that, you know, handles everything. So, you know, it's really a special place and it's always been supported throughout the community in the area as well.
Todd said it's haunted. Is that true?
Yeah, we've had some moments. Me and Todd have had some moments in this place, to be honest with you. You know, each, like a good theater does, there's, you know, some kind of spirit that is here, no doubt. We refer to that as Charlie Thrasher, who built this building.
Jason, how many folks fit inside the Opera House? And tell us a little bit more about that facility.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a small cap facility. 200 people is all we can get in this place, right? When we, that's with a seating thing. If we do a standing show, we can get about 310 in here if we're doing that. But seating arrangement is pretty easy. It's general admission. So you fight for your first seat when you get through the door, right? So, but it is a comfortable space. And of course, all the, you know, luxuries that you need when you come to a show, including two full bars and, you know, all everything else that that goes along with,
you know,
it as well.
But Door County gets so much pub for being all this. Green Lake needs to get a reputation for being one of the real gems of the state of Wisconsin, if not the Midwest. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have such a dynamic spirit here, not only in the summer, which a lot of people, you know, are visiting here in the summer, but throughout the year. And we're just happy to provide some stuff during those kind of those shoulder seasons in the winter that, you know, there's something that people can come on and do. And we're able to bring people in and help support the economy here with restaurants and other things as well.
Let's talk about some of the shows, because you talk about music from around the world. Just give us a kind of a glimpse at some of the stuff you've got coming up in the next couple of months.
Yeah, so Wisconsin favorites, Rucksack Revolution coming up this weekend. That's Sarah from Horseshoe and Hand Grenades and Adam from Dead Horses going to be joining us here. That's going to be a great show. Sonny Landreth coming in with Cindy Cashdollar this weekend. Sonny's a great slide guitar player, nationally known, those kind of things. Scaryvore coming in from Scotland on the first weekend of April. Let me tell you this, if you haven't got your ticket for that yet, good luck, because the Thursday night show is sold out. The standing room show on Friday is close to selling out, so get on in there. But then we bring back some people as well that, you know, we do a little tribute called the Brit Pack, which is a band that plays nothing but UK band hits. So you got the Stones, you got all those kind of great Beatles songs in there. So they're coming up in April as well. And then Elvin Bishop is going to be joining us in May. We just announced Jim Messina again coming back. Dwayne Betts, who is Dickie Betts' kid, coming in September. And we got a full slate of new season.
Tell people who Dickie Betts is.
Well, Dickie Betts is probably one of the most recognizable, you know, musicians from the 60s and 70s, yep, that you will jam out to all the time. And his kid is just as great. And he started the Almond Betts band as well, too. So it's going to be a fun show for us. But yeah, we bring in these people from around the world that we work, you know, it's not a rinky dink organization, right? We work with professional agencies the entire time. We go to booking conferences. We do all the homework and we bring them on. And this is a top caliber performance at a small cap venue.
Elvin Bishop, you do On and On.
Yeah.
He did On and On, didn't he?
But he also did this song, Fool Around and Fell
Around and Fell Love, and also On and On.
Yeah, that's right.
Stephen Bishop did On and On.
Yes, Stephen Bishop did On and On, yeah.
Isn't that who I said?
No.
Oh, it's not? Oh. No.
Elvin Bishop did Fool Around and Fell in Love. As soon as you said Elvin Bishop, Jason, I saw the
must
look.
Have been through about a million.
Sounds just like it.
I'd love them then, I'd leave them alone. Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. You missed your calling. Hey, Jason,
I've got Stephen Bishop, Ammo House, On and On.
Yes. I was right.
No, you're wrong again.
You're a little wrong on that.
You got a buzzer back there?
Yeah, I do.
Actually, he does.
Hey, Jason, a quick question as it relates to I think we're all very sensitive to making sure we keep things that we really love and all the good things that are happening in our world, especially in our community. How are you funded? Does everything come in through ticket sales, or how do you raise money? How do we make sure that
how do you survive?
The Thrasher Opera House stays vibrant in our community?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, we are not publicly funded by anyone. Right, we are all privately funded, and that comes in through the form of ticket sales, and that also comes in through the form of donations and sponsorships and underwriting and those kind of things and fundraising that we do here as well. So everything is contained that way, and we've been extremely successful and have had a wonderful support here throughout the past 27 years of this place.
If somebody wanted to, let's say, provide you some funds or donate, how do they do that? Because I don't know if you knew this or not, but this is Anonymous Giving Week. We've got Jessica in here and with the Habitat for Humanity, and we need to make sure we're taking care of organizations like that and places like yours. So how do we help?
Yeah, easiest way to do so to visit our website, thrasheroperahouse.com. There's some giving opportunities there as well. We've got a wonderful development director named Katie that would be more than happy to reach out to you as well. If you just want to fire us an email or give us a call, we'll be happy to talk about that. There's a variety of options in how you can give to there to support, but it is absolutely vital and crucial to our existence, and we cannot thank the public enough for all the support they give us.
Well, keep it going, because what you guys got going down there in the Green Lake area is something special. And like I said, I don't think it gets enough publicity for what a cool area that is. And it's like this. Oh, I love, and Todd and I talk about this. We love the place in Oshkosh that was built. I think it was built before the Civil War. You know what I mean? These kind of places that you're, instead of just knocking them down and building something new, I love it when you take these old traditional places and make them new again and really let people feel that vibe that you go into these old buildings.
Absolutely. We're always continuing to continue the historic destination opportunity here, and that's what we want.
And I just want to jump in. Jason, this is Jessica. I've seen Rucksack Revolution. They are incredible. And is that, did you sell that out?
Oh, we're getting there. We're working on it right now.
I've seen them together. When you pull people from different bands and put them together for a performance, it's incredible. So
who are they? I don't know anything about them.
They're from, what's it, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades and...
Dead Horses.
They're incredible. You see them at a lot of the winery type places too, the outdoors, like Ledgestone and places like that.
We got to get them in here, Todd.
Oh my gosh, they're fantastic.
For our Music
Friday.
But
when you pull people from different bands together, or they create their own albums and other music together, it's really fun to be able to see
Todd, what's the greatest
them.
Band of put together of different people that you and I always talk about?
Oh, the Traveling Wilburys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
The best ever.
And obviously people can help the Thrasher Opera House, Jason Mansmith, by getting involved with the Eats for the Arts. So give us one more rundown on that, the length of it, and where they can get more information on that.
Yeah, our website is always the best place to do that, thrasheroperahouse.com. It's going to run April 3rd through the 13th, and all the proceeds support us, which is fantastic. And we can't thank not only the restaurants, but also the people that come on out to enjoy some great food to help support us, too.
Outstanding. Keep it rocking, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it.
Whatever we can do, you just let us know.
We'll do so.
Thank you, buddy. Jason Mansmith, Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake. Eats for the Arts. What a great program they got going there, huh, Todd?
Absolutely. He's one of my favorite people. And he and I have been ghost hunting for a long time. And we actually did do an investigation at the Thrasher. And I think this is right. I think it was maybe Jason's family member came through, possibly.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Todd can tell you some stories that... will give you, I mean, literally, the hair stands up in the back of your neck of things he's uncovered.
If I'm not mistaken, like, his grandmother was an old organ or piano player at a silent theater in Fond du Lac.
Really?
And so they have a piano there for that type of stuff, and we were getting some hits from the piano.
How come ghosts are always, you know, from way back when, and there's no current ghosts?
I'm going to ghost you.
When I die, I think that means something different.
Yeah,
now.
That's right.
Different, John.
Someone mentioned Anonymous Giving Day. That sounds like something you'd claim. I gave on Anonymous Giving Day.
I don't want to say anything, but. Although, what are the, Todd?
Yeah.
What did I do for you last week?
I don't know. What did
Who
you do?
Who donated to your fund?
Well, you did.
I did.
Yes, and so did Mike. And so did John. Yeah.
How much did I know I donated mine.
Okay, no, here's the deal. This is Jim pulled a Mino on me.
Yeah, he did.
He did. So I could, this is a true story. I could not, I was trying to donate, Todd, and I couldn't read, the one number is like worn off on my credit card, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I couldn't put in my credit card number.
Did you just guess?
I did. And it wouldn't go through.
Three times, and then what happens?
Exactly. So I go, Todd, I couldn't get this to work. And so we, Jim and I were both going to give $50. And Jim pulled to me and goes, I don't have it. I don't have my wallet.
He's going to write me a check.
He's got to write you a check.
Wow, we still
so
use checks.
So I ran up to my apartment here and got $100 cash and gave it to Todd. What are the odds Jim's going to reimburse me for that $50?
And what are the odds you had $100 in cash?
That's called
right?
That's called karma. He shouldn't be reimbursing.
I'm trying to think what it was from. I got it for doing something or whatever. It's the it's like I'm giving away $100 in cash. I never have $100 in cash. And I gave it to Todd.
But
and it was anonymous, so I don't want anybody to know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you said this was anonymous.
Nobody's listening. It's okay.
You could be passive aggressive and just put a post-it over there where Jim normally sits that says, I'll take cash or check for that $50 you owe
me. He'll write me a check if he finds his checkbook. Remember that one, Todd? He couldn't find his checkbook.
Checks anymore.
I know. Yeah.
He had a check. Like checkbook laying in the underneath the front seat of his car, and he had to go run get it or something like that.
Something like that.
But
yeah.
I just want to say thanks to everybody who donated. Again, it went to a great cause. I think just over $1,300 I got.
His goal was $500.
You look good too. Not everyone can pull that look off.
He's gonna have a full beard in like three more days. Yeah.
Well,
look at that.
Well, and I think the thanks needs to go to you. I mean that you are the one who did the work. And you took a little bit of a sacrifice, which will all come back, but it's all part of the goal, right?
Absolutely. I want zero credit for my donation.
That should be easy.
I donated for you one time.
No, you didn't.
I did, I swear.
How about we get back to Rock the Block?
You want to donate to me?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Didn't
after
I donate?
The break, yes.
Didn't you get shaved one time?
No.
Why did I give you $50
one
time?
You've never given me anything.
Are you sure? All right. We'll get back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
My man, Mr. Pitzel.
How you doing?
In from the bullpen. John Kramer, the entire gang in here. Tell me more about these bands. I know we're going to do more of a Rock the Block, but you like got super excited when he was talking about those bands at the Thrasher.
Well, the funny thing is that, so Troy, my fiance, is into just a lot of music that you can't just hear on the radio, and I'm a local radio listener. I don't do XM or any of that. I like tried and true, probably because it was beat into
Thank
me
you for that.
When I was younger in radio.
Absolutely.
So he has found just all of these really amazing bands that he listens to, and I really enjoy it when, we'll be sitting around at home and have a glass of wine, and he'll put new music on, and then it suggests something else, and then it keeps going. Well, so that Rucksack Revolution, we went and saw them at Gather on Broadway because they do a lot of music concerts and such. And so they were so fantastic. We loved them. But like a lot of these local venues will pull these bands in that it's like, I like the venue and I like what they're doing. So I'm going to go and I'm going to check the band out. And then you end up loving them. And then you end up downloading their music and everything. And that's what we did with them. But pulling from two different bands is just, I think that's such a unique, a really neat thing to do. But
Thrasher then, Opera House in Green Lake.
Yeah, and then they have you went like I said you were singing and talking about something else that I was like I have no idea
who did this. Okay, about. Who did this song? On some Jimmy sits alone in the moonlight, saw his woman kiss another man. Who's that?
No,
that's Stephen Bishop.
Oh,
Stephen Bishop.
Stephen.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was right, kind of.
It's a good thing John is here.
Yeah.
The other John. All right.
You're wearing a that song. I love that song. You're wearing a very cool shirt.
Thank you.
Rock the Block. Tell us about
it. So Rock the Block is...
I'm sorry it took so long to get to this.
It's okay. You warned me. You said with the mayor not here, it might take a while.
Just bear with us.
That's okay. So Rock the Block is that it's the neighborhood revitalization program that we've started, and we do it in September of each year. Last year was our first year. This is our second year. We have the first 4 years all locked in where we're going to be doing it. And it's a neighborhood revitalization program where we get funding to be able to do improvements and repairs to the exterior of around 30 homes.
Wow.
And so we pick a specific neighborhood with the municipality that we're working in, and we really pinpoint a neighborhood that could really use it. And so it's people who maybe either physically can't do the repairs and improvements, or people are aging in place and they need a ramp put in. They have terrible insulation and they need new windows, and they just can't afford it because they're already making trade-offs, and they want to stay in their home and they want to keep that mortgage going. And so they won't spend the money on the repairs that they really need. And there's, you know, older houses, we know everything just starts falling apart after a certain point, porches. And you know, and as you get older and aging, it's really hard to do landscaping and weeding and, you know, dealing with bushes and things like that. So we do everything from basic, like painting fences to painting houses to new roofs. We do concrete work. I mean, we do some heavy duty stuff.
I was going to say that's big.
So
time
we'll
stuff.
We'll do that type of thing if the property needs it. But it's up to $7,500 per house so that we can spread the love and do about 30 of those. And so we picked the Fisk Edition neighborhood. So people could go to greenbayhabitat.org to see if they're within that territory there, and then they can apply for the program. It's free because we received funding for it. But they need their skin in the game because they need to qualify income-wise, so like our normal Habitat program. But then we want them to put sweat equity in too. You know, get your friends and neighbors and your cousins and your everybody to come over and help volunteer, because we need hundreds of volunteers during those 3 days.
And I'm glad you shared that, greenbayhabitat.com, because last year, how I found out about, and I haven't volunteered yet, is that I drove by one of those locations or in De Pere last year when you're, and John, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, it was like, you know how you picture the ants working?
Yeah.
It was like all these people and they have the t-shirts on.
Yep.
And that's how I learned about it. And then I researched it and found out about it. But it is very impressive. I didn't see the end result, but wow, it's just really neat.
Yeah, we have before and after pictures of each of the houses. We were able to help 34 homeowners.
What I thought was really cool, I think I read in your press release, is when you did it in De Pere, neighbors got to meet neighbors they had never met.
Yeah,
that's,
I think,
second and third order effects things.
Right, in this day and age, people don't always talk to, you know, a new family moves into a neighborhood and they kind of keep to themselves, or it's, you know, socially, people are a little more awkward in the younger generations now because so much technology. And so you don't always get to meet your neighbors. And so it was bringing people out. And then those who didn't get picked that maybe didn't qualify or didn't need, you know, a whole lot, we saw them outside doing repairs on their house. Nice. It's like, well, I could paint my fence. So that was really neat. So the ripple effect is really fantastic. And our volunteers had a ball. They had a really good time.
And the press time is supporting this, huh?
Yeah, we already covered their press conference, and we'll cover what they got going on in September.
Outstanding. Tori, give me a little bit of update. What you got coming up? High school sports beat and the sports in this area?
Well, high school sports... Not much right now. Paper's going to be a little rough for the next week or two with high school sports
when
coverage.
When do you start the draft coverage?
Now? A while ago?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always stuff to cover in terms of the draft, but we just had a roundtable discussion talking about media requirements and everything.
Well, yeah, you and I were at the same meeting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So
How about what that one police officer said when I asked the question? When I said, do you have like analytics or something? How many people are being here? He goes, yeah, well, I know you're from the UP, so you're not very good at math. Did you catch that?
Shot over.
Shot across the bow. Wow. You do a great job. I got to ask you, what's your level? Where do you want to go with your career? I mean, you're off to such a phenomenal start.
Honestly, I don't know. This is it for now. I'm loving what I'm doing right now. So
does she mean being on this radio show?
What about my career?
Well, yeah, okay. We're not talking history now. We're talking the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. I no lie, though. You're a great photographer. I'm not lying about that. Some of your shots, I mean, you're out there at 3 in the morning getting some of those pictures. That's pretty cool stuff, John.
Where's the side kind of little dig? Where's that coming?
Wait till we're off the air.
All right.
Thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Jessica, so wonderful to see you. Thanks for what you do for this great community.
Thank you. One last plug, greenbayhabitat.org if you want to get involved with us.
You got it. Give yourself a plug, Tori. Press times.
Yep.
Mike,
Thank you, buddy. It's been so much fun having
my
you.
My pleasure.
Back in tomorrow morning. See ya!
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.